Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tefillah Perek Vav. This perek is not structured as a list in the manner of the last two prakim, but the content is similar. The Rambam finishes discussing here several aspects of what a person may not do either during Tefillah or before saying Tefillah after the time for it has arrived. Halacha Aleph. Asur lo la'adam la'avor la'achorei beit ha'kneset b'sha'a sh'atziburin palin, ela im kein haya nosei masoi, o im haya le'beit ha'kneset shnei p'tachim b'shtei ruchot, sh'aroe omer shema yelech v'ikanes b'petach ha'acher. V'chein im haya ba'ir shnei batei knesiot, yomar haroe shema yelech le'beit ha'kneset haragil bo, v'im haya lo tfilin b'rosho, mutar la'avor, ואף על פי שאין שם אחד מכל אלו, שהתפילין מוכיחין עליו שהוא רודף מצוות ואינו ממבטלי התפילה. A person may not walk behind a shul while the tzibur is engaged in tefillah there. The Shulchan Aruch clarifies that by behind, achorei, the Rambam means the side of the building with the door. The problem with doing this is that the person gives the impression that he has no interest in joining the tefillah of the tzibur, and we'll see in Perek Chet that one should always daven with the tzibur when possible. He is permitted to walk by the door when he does not convey this impression, like if he is carrying a load, in which case any observer would realize that he is busy with work, or if the shul has another entrance, or, as is often the case nowadays, if there is another shul in town, so anyone seeing him can assume that he is going to daven elsewhere. The Mishnah Berurah adds that the same is true if there is one shul with many minyanim. If the person is wearing tefillin, then it is plainly clear that he values mitzvot in general, and tefillah in particular, so no one would suspect him of spurning tefillah b'tzibur. Halacha bet. Hamipalel imat tzibur lo yarich b'tfilato yoter midai. Aval beino levein atzmo harushut biado. Im ba lomar achar tfilato vafilu keseder vidu yom kippurim omer. When saying the Amidah together with the tzibur, one shouldn't make his Amidah too long, yoter midai, but it sounds like a little long is okay, and we'll elaborate shortly, whether he is the shliach tzibur or not. Someone davening by himself can add as much as he wants at the end of his tefillah, by which the Rambam seems to mean after Yihul Ratzon Merefi, and before taking three steps back. Now the Rambam goes on to explain how anyone can add requests during the middle brachot of the Amidah, and seemingly even someone davening with the tzibur can do so in moderation. Continuing in Halacha Bet, V'chein im ratza lohosif b'chol bracha uvracha minayim tzayot me'ein habracha mosif. Ketzad. היה לו חולה, מבקש עליו רחמים בברכת חולים, כפי צחות לשונו. היה צריך לפרנסה, מוסיף תחינה ובקשה בברכת השנים, ועל דרך זו בכל אחת מהן. ואם רצה לשאול כל צרכיו בשומע תפילה, שואל, אבל לא ישאל לא בשלוש ראשונות, ולא בשלוש האחרונות. In each of the middle brachot, one may add a private request on the topic of that bracha. For example, adding a prayer for a sick person in the middle of Rifa'enu. In most Sidurim, there is even a printed Yihi Ratzon, which one can add for a chole in that bracha. Or adding a prayer for making a living in the bracha of Barech Aleinu. The last of the middle brachot, ending Shomea Tefillah, is a catch-all for any topic, and so one can add any private request at all in that bracha. The Rambam says that one should not add anything to the first three or the last three brachot. But the Hagot Maimoniot here points out that communal requests can be added in those, as we indeed add Yalev Yavo in one of the last three brachot, and also the four lines of Zochreinu L'chaim, Michamocha, that we add during the Aser Tamei Tshuva are all added in these six brachot. Nonetheless, we don't add any personalized text in the first three or the last three, even if they relate to a communal request. From here until close to the end of the perek, the Rambam discusses activities in which one may not engage before tefillah once the time for tefillah has arrived. Halacha Dalet. Asru lo la'adam shi'it'om klum o shi'aseh melacha me'achar shalam u'rashachar, ad shi'itpalel tefillat shacharit. V'chein lo yashkim lefetach chavero lish'ol bishlomo kodem shi'itpalel tefillat shacharit, v'lo yetze la'derech kodem shi'itpalel. Aval to'em hu v'oseh melacha kodem usaf v'kodem mincha, after Alot HaShachar, the earliest possible time for Shacharit, even if not the ideal time, as we learned in Perek Gimel, one may not eat or drink anything before Shacharit, nor engage in any work, nor go to a friend's home in order to greet him, nor start out on a journey. Note that the Rambam specifies going to a friend's home, implying that greeting a friend whom you happen to pass by is perfectly fine. Other Rishonim and Poskim are lenient about some of the other activities. For instance, the Kesef Mishnah and other Nosei Kelim quote the opinion of the Rush that one may drink water before Shacharit, because prioritizing eating over tefillah in the morning is in general considered haughty, but drinking water is not haughty at all. And the Shulchan Aruch allows this, as well as eating and drinking for medical purposes. Regarding starting out on a journey before Shacharit, many are lenient nowadays if one says at least some brachot before leaving his home, and we'll learn in the next parak about brachot that one is supposed to say every morning. Halacha Hei. Kevan shehigia zman mincha gdola, lo ikanes lamerchatz afilu lahazia ad shiyitpalel, shema yitalef vivatel minat tfila, velo lechol afilu achilat arai, shema yimashech b'achila, velo ladun afilu bigmar din, shema yisater hadin v'yimashech v'yivatel minat tfila, v'chein lo yeshev lifnei hasapar afilu tisporet hediot ad shiyitpalel, shema yishaver hazug, velo yikanes laburski samuch lamincha ad shiyitpalel, shema yireh hefseid bimlachto v'yitasek ba v'yitakev minat tfila, v'yimidchil ba'achat me'elu lo yafsik, ela gomer v'achar kach mipalel mincha. Once the time for Mincha Gedola arrives, and the Rambam clarifies later in the Halakha that this means Samuch L'Mincha, that is, noon, midday, half an hour before the earliest time to Dav Mincha, one may not engage in any activity which can possibly continue until he misses the time for Mincha. Included among these are entering the bathhouse to bathe or even to sweat, as he may faint or fall asleep, eating even a small meal, Achilat Arai, as it may drag on, judging a court case, even just to wrap one up, as the legal arguments may take a long time, sitting for a haircut, as the scissors may break and he may be stuck there for a while, and finally, if the person works in tanning leather, he may not enter the tannery, where he may see some problem which requires his extended attention. This psak of the Rambam seems very stringent, as it is difficult to see how, say, eating lunch at noon, unless it is a very festive meal, may cause a person to miss the time for mincha, which ends only 6 hours later. Indeed, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, on which this psak is based, contains different opinions about what kind of meal is forbidden, and when exactly one may not start a meal. Just before Mincha Gdola, as the Rambam says, or just before Mincha Ktana 3 hours later. Though the Rif, Rambam, and following them, the Shulchan Aruch, all accept the more stringent opinion we just read, the Rama on the Shulchan Aruch rules that Ashkenazim are lenient to allow even a large meal after Mincha Gdola. The prohibition to begin a meal is only from half an hour before Mincha Ktana, and even in that case, the custom is to be lenient if the meal isn't especially large, or if someone goes to a minyan regularly and will be reminded to do so by someone else, or by an alarm, which these days is very easy to set, before that minyan begins. And even for the stringent opinion of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, the prohibition of achilat arai from noon before davening mincha relates only to a bread meal, not to fruits, vegetables, or other snacks. The Rambam ends the halacha by clarifying that while one may not begin any of these activities from noon, if he does so, then we do not require him to stop in the middle, as long as there will be time afterwards to say mincha. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam explains the exact moment at which each of these activities he listed in Halacha Hei is considered to begin. Since many of these aren't relevant for the way these activities are done today, we'll skip the details and proceed to Halacha Zayin. Af al pi shetfilat ha'erev reshut, lo yavo adam mimlachto v'yomar ochal ma'at v'yishan kima v'achar kach et palel, shema te'noso to sheina v'nimtza yashen kol ha'layla, ela mipalel arvit v'achar kach ochel v'shote o yishan. Most of the activities we listed in Halacha Hei are done during the daytime, and the only concern of an evening activity which may cause a person to miss Ma'ariv is eating, especially as it may cause fatigue and lead a person to fall asleep for the night. And so the Rambam says, one may not eat after coming home from his day's work before saying Ma'ariv. The Rambam doesn't specify the exact time from which it is forbidden to eat, and the Shulchan Aruch rules that this time is half an hour before the earliest time to say Kriyat Shema, that is, Tzeit HaKochavim. Because Kriyat Shema is midoraita, here the Shulchan Aruch is more stringent than in the case of Mincha, and even if one begins to eat after this time, he is required to pause when it is late enough to say Kriyat Shema, recite just Kriyat Shema without its brachot, then continue his meal, and daven Ma'ariv with Kriyat Shema and its brachot also when he finishes. In this case, too, the Mishnah Berurah rules that if one has a regular minyan he attends and will be reminded to go there, then he may eat a meal before Ma'ariv. finishing up Halacha Zayin. Umutar li staper uli kanes la merchatz samuch le shacharit mipnei shelo gazru ela samuch la mincha shu davar hamatsui shrov ha'am nichnasin bayom aval bashachar davar sheino matsui velo gazru bo. The prohibition to begin a haircut or to enter the bathhouse before tefillah is rabbinic and was only enacted regarding mincha, as these activities are typically done in the middle of the day. Someone may begin one of these early in the morning, even after the time for shacharit has begun, as long as there will remain time afterwards to say shacharit before the time for shacharit ends. Halacha chet. Mi shaya osek b'talmud Torah v'yigia zman tefillah, posek u'mipalel, v'im hayta torato umanuto v'eino ose melacha klal, v'aya osek b'torah b'shat tefillah, eino posek, shemitzvah talmud Torah g'dola mimitzvah tefillah, v'chol haosek b'tzochei rabim k'osek b'divrei Torah. Even someone learning Torah must stop when the time for tefillah arrives in order to daven. Here the Rambam makes no distinction among the three daily tefillot. With the exception of one who engages in Torah study full-time, Torato Umanuto, his Torah is his profession. Though this term is used nowadays in Israel to refer to any Haredi yeshiva student who spends his days learning, the halachic concept of Torato Umanuto suggests an intense level of engagement in Torah study, on the model of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is no longer considered to exist. And the Shulchan Aruch rules that in our days, everyone pauses his learning in order to say tefillah. But the Rama and Mishnah Berurah add that if someone is teaching Torah to others and will not be able to continue if he stops for tefillah, then he may continue teaching even if it means missing tefillah. Someone engaged in communal endeavors, tzorchei rabim, is the equivalent of someone learning Torah. And so here too the Mishnah Berurah rules that if no one else will continue this work in his place if he stops for tefillah, then he may continue even though he misses the time for tefillah. That completes the discussion of interrupting other activities in order to say tefillah. And now the Rambam moves to the topic of interrupting tefillah itself for any reason. Halacha tet. Ein hamitpalel mafsik tefillato, ela mipnei sakanat nefashot bilvad. Afilu melech Yisrael shoel bishlomo, lo yishivenu. Ava posheku lemelech goy, shema yahargenu. Haya omeid bitfilah v'ra'a melech goy o anas ba kenegdo, yikatzer. V'mino yachol, yafsik. וכן אם ראה נחשים ועקרבים באים כנגדו, אם הגיעו אליו והיה דרכן באותו המקום שאין ממיתין, פוסק ובורח. ואם לא היה דרכן להמית, אינו פוסק. One may only interrupt his amida in a life-threatening circumstance. For instance, to greet a non-Jewish king or officer, it is assumed that a Jewish one will understand the situation. Or to escape an animal like a poisonous snake or scorpion, which poses a mortal threat. Even a hand motion, without speaking or moving one's legs, is considered an interruption. But the Mishnah Berurah allows this to remove a disturbance, like to motion to a child to be quiet. The Shulchan Aruch adds that it is preferable, if one must interrupt in a situation of a non-Jewish king or the like, to move to a new location, a distance away, and continue his Amidah there, rather than stay where he is and be required to speak as well. If an animal which isn't poisonous crawls onto a person while he is in the middle of Amidah, even though there is no life-threatening danger, the Ramah similarly allows him to move in order to shake the creature off, if necessary, to go to a new location. Halacha Yud, Nashim vavadim uktanim chayvin batfila. V'chol ish shepatur mikriyat shma patur minat fila. V'chol hamilavin atameit af al pi she'ein lamitat zorach mehen peturin min hatfila. Women and avadim are obligated in tefila, as they too need to beseech Hashem for their needs. Recall from Perek Aleph that there are two ways to understand this line in the Rambam. The Magen Avraham understands that the Rambam obligates women only in the mitzvah d'oraita of tefillah once a day with no fixed text or time, and rules that even a brief supplication after washing hands in the morning is sufficient. But others, and in my opinion this is the simpler reading of this halacha, understand that the Rambam is talking about the rabbinic mitzvah of tefillah, that is the Amidah at three fixed times during the day, as he has been discussing for the last 5.5 prakim. And therefore the Rambam means that women and avadim are obligated to say the Amidah three times a day. Children are obligated in tefillah based on the mitzvah of chinuch. Regarding a funeral procession, in contrast to Kriyat Shema, where the only ones exempt are those responsible for carrying the deceased along with any potential substitutes, all the participants in the procession are exempt from tefillah. The reason seems to be that tefillah requires kavanah throughout the Amidah, at least the chatchila, whereas Kriyat Shema requires this only in the first pasuk. and those in the procession are too distracted by the funeral to devote more than a few seconds to saying the beginning of Kriyat Shema with a proper kavanah. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.